Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the conference call following the announcement that we made this morning of our agreement to purchase InMotion, which is the leading travel retailer for digital and travel accessories in the US. Most of you know me, Stephen Clark, CEO, and I've got Robert sitting alongside me, and you will hear from Robert towards the end of the presentation. So I'll walk you through the slide pack, and the slide pack is on our website, so hopefully you've all got access to that and got it in front of you. I'll refer to the page numbers as we go through, just to make it easier for you to follow. We'll take your questions at the end, and we're happy to take as many questions as you have got. So if you go to page 2 in the pack, I'll start off with the transaction headlines. So we've agreed to acquire 100% of InMotion for $198 million. And there are three key points that highlight why this is such an attractive acquisition for us. So firstly, this acquisition comes with all the benefits of owning a market-leading, pure-play travel retailer. And I'll come on to a bit more detail of that in a minute. Secondly, it provides us with a platform to launch our WH Smith Airport format into the world's largest travel market for news, books and convenience, with the ability to benefit from InMotion's deep market knowledge, their really good infrastructure, and their strong landlord relationships. And thirdly, we also think that there are good opportunities to export the InMotion brand and format into many of the other territories outside of the US where we currently operate WH Smith Airport stores. So places like Australia, Europe, the Middle East, parts of Asia maybe, we believe there are good opportunities for InMotion there. So let me talk a little bit more about InMotion. They are the market leader for digital accessories in US airports. They sell stuff like earbuds, headphones, travel tax chargers, all that sort of stuff. And they're currently enjoying really good sales growth. They've had double-digit like-for-like sales growth for the last couple of years. They have an excellent store portfolio, 114 stores across 43 airports. They've got great relationships with landlords and brand suppliers, and they've got a best-in-class customer service proposition, which again is very popular with the airport landlords. Total sales for this year, which will end on December 2018, are expected to be around $166 million, with an EBITDA of $23 million, and very importantly for us, there's plenty of scope for future growth of the InMotion business in the US. And again, I'll come to that a little bit later. This is a category, so digital accessories and travel accessories, this is a category that we have developed and grown in our own UK travel business. And you'll know this from all of the analyst presentations we've done over the last several years. And we're very familiar with this category, and we've already ourselves got good relationships with many of the same suppliers, including Apple, Bose and Beats, and so on. Now this acquisition will significantly accelerate our international travel expansion strategy, and in fact on completion it will double our international sales and profits. And as you all know, because we said every single time we see you, our core objective is to maximise value creation for our shareholders, and we think this is entirely consistent with that core objective. It comes with good financial returns, including mid-single-digit EPS accretion from the first full year, and the ROIC ahead of WACC by year 3. So if you move on to slide 3 in the pack, I'll talk a little bit more about how this fits in with our strategic priorities. And as you all know, I mentioned it just 2 weeks ago, travel now generates 2/3 of our group operating profit. And this growth has come from 3 key areas, One is evolving our store format and category mix in the UK. And as I just said, digital and travel accessories have been a key part of our growth there over the last few years. Secondly, it's from opening new space in the UK. And as you know, we opened 20 new stores last year and we expect a similar number this year. And then thirdly, expanding into markets outside of the UK. And we've now crossed the 300 store milestone. We did that just a few days ago. So we've got 300 stores and 52 airports across 28 countries. And that travel performance and this sort of our travel strategy has enabled us to deliver more than 10 years of consecutive profit growth in travel. The group, as you know, is very cash generative, and our core objective of delivering value for shareholders has seen us deliver superior returns, as you'll know time and time again, versus our peers. We've got a very disciplined capital allocation policy. Robert will pick this up again in a bit more detail later. But we are very, very careful when assessing acquisition opportunities to ensure that they will deliver more shareholder value than the alternative uses for the cash, including returning it to shareholders via our dividend policy and our annual buyback program. And we mentioned 2 weeks ago that by the end of this financial year, we will have returned over £1 billion to shareholders since 2007 in the form of those dividends and buybacks. So we are very, very clear that we will only make acquisitions that support both our growth strategies and our value creation objectives for our shareholders. And for some time, we've been looking at what is the best route into the world's largest travel market in North America. And we've identified InMotion as a very attractive value-creating option. And so we actually approached the owners a few months ago and entered into exclusive negotiations with them to purchase the business. And just to be clear, this is not the acquisition that we mentioned at our preliminary results presentation, where we told you there was one where we decided not to proceed following due diligence. So this is not that one. So if you turn on to page 4 in the pack, I'll give you a bit more detail on the InMotion business. And you'll see that both on page 4 and 5. And as you can see from the chart on the right-hand side of page 4, InMotion is the clear market leader in the US travel retail market for digital accessories. They've got 114 stores across 43 airports. And one of the reasons that InMotion has done so well is exactly the same reason that we have done so well in our travel business. And that is, they deliver superior like-for-like sales growth and superior sales per passenger, and that ensures that they are very well regarded by landlords, because the landlords earn more rent the more they sell, as well as their best in class and award winning customer service proposition, which again is very, very popular with landlords. The business employs 750 people, and they've got a very experienced leadership team. Many of them have been there for more than 12 years, and indeed the CEO, Jeremy Smith, who will remain with the business, has been there 12 years himself. And you can see from the map on page 5 just where their stores are. I mentioned the 43 airports. That includes 9 of the top 10 and 22 of the top 25 airports in the US. And it's in all of the sort of big ones like Atlanta, JFK, San Francisco and so on. So it really is a good store portfolio. But very importantly for us, there is loads of scope for growth, both in the airports where they already are, because they've got some airports where they've only got one or two shops, and then they've got other airports of similar size where they may have up to 10 shops. And so we believe there's lots of scope to grow within many of the existing airports. Plus there are many airports where they currently don't have a presence where we think there is opportunity to have shops. On to slide 6, and you can see some of the pictures of the InMotion format. And as you can see from the pictures, the format is very flexible. They have shops ranging from 60 square feet, which are basically wall units, up to stores of over 1,000 square feet, which are more like traditional stores. And it's exactly this flexibility, wall units, kiosks, and proper shops, that helps them win tenders in a large variety of airports, including those airports where actually retail space is at a premium. And you'll know from some American airports the way they're laid out that there isn't a great deal of space for retail outlets, and so this flexibility really helps them. And that is very, very similar to what we've been doing in the UK with Tech Express. So for example, we have standalone store in London Bridge Station, which we showed on the slide a few weeks ago, and you can see that on the bottom right hand corner of the slide on page 6. We have kiosks in places like Waterloo, Southampton Airport and Manchester Airport. We have implants, we have Tech Express implants in stores like WH Smith Victoria and in about a dozen of our high street stores. So when you look at our business across both high street and travel, we've got about 50 of these shops already. So we are very familiar with this market, and we're very familiar with the suppliers, and we're very familiar with the InMotion brand. If you go on to page 7, slide 7 of the pack, you can see that the brand portfolio for the product categories is very strong, including the market leaders for those categories. And this is one of the many things that sets InMotion apart from their competitors and why they have such a strong portfolio versus the others. And as I said earlier, you'll find nearly all of these brands in our WH Smith Tech Express stores. The sales are split into those four key areas. Earbuds and headphones make up about half of the sales. Travel accessories and other products, including portable speakers and stuff like specialty electronics, make up the balance. And they have a wide range of products in each of those subcategories and a wide range of price points. Everything from the impulse stuff right up to the premium end of the market. So moving on to slide 8, and you'll get a picture of the broader market. Excuse me. And as I've already said, the travel market in the US is the biggest in the world. In total, it's worth over £10 billion, with the news, gift and speciality markets worth over £3 billion. And the prospects look good. Passenger numbers, and you can see that on the left-hand side of the slide, are on a long-term growth trajectory, and all the forecasts are for strong annual growth well into the long term. So it's a big market with good growth prospects. And the same can be said for both the digital and travel accessories segment and the news, books and convenience segment. And we now intend to participate in tenders to open our WH Smith travel format in the US. So we believe this market presents good growth opportunities for both the InMotion format and the WH Smith format over the medium and long term. And we think it will be pivotal for our growth ambitions in the international travel market. If you flick on to slide 9, and you can see an illustration of the impact on our international business from the day of completion. Sales and profits will double, and our growth capabilities for both the US travel market and the digital accessories format worldwide are immediately enhanced, as we take the credibility of the InMotion brand and format to territories where we already have a presence with WH Smith. As I said, places like Europe, Middle East, Asia and Australia. Moving on to slide 10 and integration. And as you'll see from the slide, we expect integration to be pretty straightforward, as we will focus on maintaining the strengths of the InMotion model to give us immediate benefits. We'll continue to operate InMotion as a standalone business within our international travel business, and it will continue to be led by the current and very successful senior management team. Look, a great feature of this business is that there is sufficient capacity in the existing infrastructure for us to pretend in us to participate in tenders to launch WH Smith Airport format in the US. And that's in terms of their distribution center, their IT platform, central operations and store operations. And very importantly, this is a major part of the strategic rationale and attractiveness of the InMotion business to us. And I think one of the keys for us going forward is we'll be able to tap into their significant business development capability to build on our relationships with the big airports and increase our ability to be successful in tenders for news books and convenience stores. So I'll now hand you over to Robert, who will cover off some of the financials.
Thank you, Steve. So turning now to page 11. We will be paying $198 million at closing, which we anticipate will be by the end of this calendar year. This is a multiple of 9.9 times the EBITDA attributable to WH Smith, which is after deducting the profits attributable to minority partners under the mandatory terms of various US airport lease contracts. As Steve has said, this is a fast-growing business with strong like-for-likes this year, following double-digit like-for-like growth last year. InMotion is expected to deliver sales of approximately $166 million for the year ended 31 December 2018, with an EBITDA after profits attributable to minority interest of approximately $20 million. And the financial returns are strong. The EPS will be accretive from the first full financial year of ownership, and the ROIC ahead of WACC by year three. And the transaction will be cash flow accretive. We're financing the transaction through a four-year term loan of £200 million provided by our four relationship banks. Funding costs are at market rate. And this is in addition to our existing RCF of £140 million, which has been extended for a further year and will now expire in December 2023. In total, we expect pro forma leverage of the combined group at 0.8 times EBITDA. So turning to the impact on the group's cash and capital allocation policy on slide 12. The first point here is that there is no change to our disciplined approach to cash and capital allocation. Our capital allocation policy remains. As we have said many times before, we see three uses for the cash. Invest in the business, where we see attractive returns ahead of the cost of capital, make appropriate acquisitions, and return cash to shareholders through a progressive dividend policy and a share buyback. The board reviews the balance sheet on an ongoing basis, and we will operate with a level of net debt of up to 1.25 times EBITDA. And this transaction, as I said, takes cover to 0.8 times. And we're not changing our guidance on the buyback of up to $50 million announced on the 11th of October at our prelim. So I'll hand you back to Steve.
Thanks, Robert. Right, let me try and summarise all of that. And let me start off by saying that this acquisition is entirely consistent with our long-standing strategy for delivering value for our shareholders. As you know, that is our core focus, and we will never waver from that. Our international growth is an important part of that strategy, as we've demonstrated in recent years with the investment that we have put into growing our international business. And it's worth emphasising that we already operate a successful and profitable travel business in 52 airports across 28 countries outside of the UK. And while our market share is still small, we continue to grow very rapidly. And digital accessories, as I've said, is not new to us. Those of you who followed us will know that digital and travel accessories have been a big driver of our overall strong performance in travel in the UK. So our knowledge and experience of the sector, combined with the success of InMotion, make this a very attractive route for us into the US market, providing us with good long-term prospects for both the InMotion brand and the WH Smith Airport format. In addition, we believe we can export InMotion into other territories where we're currently present. And all of this can deliver compelling financial returns and a significant acceleration of our international growth. And as I've said a few times, and I'll say it again, I'll finish off with it, value creation for our shareholders will remain central to our plans. Right, so that's the presentation from us. Happy to take as many questions as you have got. As usual, I will answer the easy questions and Robert will answer the hard ones.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of John Pritchard. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Morning, Tig.
Morning, Jonathan.
Morning. Well done. This looks a really interesting deal. Just two or three for me. Firstly, the existing sort of store pipeline for them, sort of what was last year's store number and what could be the sort of turn of the decade sort of number in terms of the potential there? And then perhaps, again, back one and forward one, on the margin, it seems that the EBITDA margin's about 14%, something like that. Where was it last year? Where could it be? And then one thing you haven't mentioned, it's a current trading statement, of course, which looks quite interesting. Could you just talk us through the footfall trends there? Because clearly the travel number looks eye-catching and the high street number's not bad either. So versus sort of footfall trends and the wider market, can you just talk us through the current trading, please?
Yeah, okay. Richard, I'll do 1 and 3 and Robert will do 2. And you know when you asked us about pipeline for our international business, you know, we're quite coy with the answer. Oh, in an average year, it'll be somewhere between 20 and 30. Some years it may be more than that, and some years it may be less than that. I know it's not very helpful for your modelling, but that's just a function of travel retail. It's the same here. Over the past couple of years, the store number has remained stable, but there have been some moving parts within that. They have won some new business, they've lost a little bit, but what they've also been doing in some airports is consolidating some of the smaller formats into a bigger store in a better location. And so when you look at the net of all of that, I think, comes out in the sales numbers year on year, and you've got those plus 12s and plus 13s over the last couple of years. The best guide I can give you for going forward at this stage, although as we become more experienced with this in the US, we may be able to refine it a little better, is some years may not win any. Some years you could win as many as 10 or more. It will depend on what comes up for tender and on which airport. We'll continue to do here what we do in the UK, which is look to renew the contracts ahead of tenders and where possible not go to tender. But that's not always possible in the US. But you know, one of the reasons why we bought this business is we do see lots of potential for growth, both in the existing airports and in airports where they're not present. You know, there are places like LA Airport where there's one shop, and then there are other places, big airports, where there's as many as 10 shops. So, and then you've got a broad spectrum in between. We would be looking to grow our presence in those airports where the presence is currently not very strong, as well as look to winning tenders in airports where they currently don't have a presence. So that's the best guide I can give you, Jonathan. And the same goes for the WH Smith format. I can tell you that, you know, we built our business case on this as a standalone business, so the business case stacks up in its own right. But we would be looking to participate in tenders for WH Smith stores almost immediately. It'll probably take us some time to get a bit of traction. So in our modelling, we haven't put any in for this year, and we put a very, very, very small handful in for the following couple of years, because you know we like to take a prudent view on these things and then hopefully do better than that. But again, as I say, once we become a bit more experienced in the US market, I'll probably be able to put a bit more colour on those sort of forecasts going forward. So hopefully that answers your question. It's as good as I can give you at the minute. But I mean, I was saying, it's the growth potential that really attracts us to this business, InMotion and W. Smith. On the trading statement, we put the trading statement in there today purely because we were going out with a big announcement, and we thought it would be useful, a useful backdrop for you to see how we're currently performing. Travel is doing particularly well. It's not often we have a juicy number like plus 10, although we have had it once or twice in off-date over the last few years. In large part, that's driven by some of the new space that we've opened outside of the UK. So again, in large part, that's coming from international. But within the UK, we're doing very well also. The new stores, you know, the big airport format that we've been talking about at the presentation, T3, Gatwick North, Gatwick South, working really well. The new hospital format with the M&S implants, working really well. So what I would say probably is, if I was being as accurate as I could, more of the like-for-like growth is coming from our initiatives and less of it coming from passenger numbers than maybe we've been used to. But passenger numbers are still growing, which is very helpful to us. Oh, and then we're just fine. I'll end with a word of caution, as I always do. It is only the first 2 months, and both businesses have peak ahead of them. And you know, as I said at the beginning, we put this out just to give a full backdrop to what we're doing. This is not a sort of a trading statement that we would expect to put out every year, but we just thought it was appropriate given we were making such a big announcement today.
And any thoughts on the high street from the same perspective?
High street. I don't think, and you can see this from the BRC data, I don't think it's got any better or any worse. Footfall is still a challenge, and footfall across the three different high street formats, out-of-town shopping centres and the actual high street, still continues to bob along at about -2. And we're still doing well on stuff like stationery and slime and stuff like that, but we are entering into our peak period. Once we get Halloween out of the way, all of the big books will be released by then and so on. So there's still a long way to go before we can declare any sort of victory. But as we said at the prelims, we've got off to a good start in both businesses, and I think these numbers just demonstrate then that what we said is true.
Great.
So Robert, we'll take question number two.
So Jonathan, in terms of the EBITDA margin, it's been pretty much the same actually over the last couple of years, so there, year in 17 and 18. And going forward, we're expecting to be broadly the same as well. We haven't built in any big cost synergies, for example, into our plans going forward. You know, it's a well-run business as it is. So pretty similar as it would be the expectation.
And is there any sort of, cross sort of pan-Atlantic sort of buying synergy you could look at with suppliers, you know, putting a bit of your volume with theirs, or is that perhaps a bit optimistic?
Well, I like that word pan-Atlantic. I think that's going to find its way into our lexicon all of a sudden. Over time, you would hope to get something. I think what will happen is we'll become more important to some of those suppliers, which will be good. So getting their notice will be even easier, although we do enjoy good relationships with them already. I think over time there are some unbranded products in InMotion that we will be able to source better from them from the Far East, tariffs permitting. And then we will look, as any good retailer will, we will look at where our combined buying does give us some opportunities. But again, being the cautious folk that we are, we didn't really build much from that into our business case.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Chamberlain. Thank you. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks very much. Morning, team. Congratulations on the deal. Morning. Three from me, please, if that's all right. The first one is, I was wondering about sort of scope for range extensions within the existing InMotion stores. Is there any potential there? I wondered if you can sort of touch on usage clauses in the US, you know, how they might differ from what you see in other parts of the world. That's the first one. The second one is, I think the notes of the statement mention that the acquired profits attributable to WH Smith are about $15 million, and I think that versus the $20 million EBITDA after the minority. So I presume the $5 million, is that all depreciation for InMotion? I just wanted to clarify that. And then the third one is just, again, on current trade or recent trading. It looks like, if you look at the industry data, it looks like we have seen a softer trend in London airports in terms of passenger footfall. But it sounds like WH Smith is outperforming. Is that right? Is that back to what you were saying about spend per passenger? I wonder if you can just give a bit more colour on that. Thanks.
Well, Richard, I'll take question one and three, and we'll have number two again. In terms of the range extension, the first thing I'd say is they have got a really, one of the strengths of this business is they have got a really good range of products already. They've got all of the right suppliers, all of the big suppliers, and so on. With regards to user clauses and opportunities for extending, there's some stuff that they've been doing recently which is interesting. So a little bit more of the non-tech travel accessories like travel pillows and so on. And there's probably more scope to do stuff like that. And that probably is one of the areas where we can benefit from our Far East sourcing, because we source travel pillows practically for every territory in which we operate, and often bespoke designs for those territories. It's often one of the reasons that it helps us win tenders. You know, when you front up at a Singapore airport tender with travel pillows which are sort of designed specifically for Singapore, that sort of stuff goes down really well. So I imagine stuff like that we may push a little bit further. They've also started in some stores dabbling in luggage as a bit of a trial, and that might be something in the bigger formats which we can push forward. And once we're in there, we'll look at some of the other stuff as well. We'll look at everything, all of the sort of ranges that we sell in a very big WH Smith travel store, and see what scope there is with the individual user clauses for pushing a bit more of that stuff in there. But don't expect to see Toblerones in any of these stores anytime soon. On current trading, the numbers for the London airports, I think, and I've just been looking at my MD from travel, are fairly consistent with where they have been for the last few months. We've been doing particularly well in those airports because of the new shops in Gatwick. We've closed older shops and opened the big fancy. Have you been in one of our big fancy shops yet?
I think I've been in one, yeah. Gatwick, yeah.
So we've now got one in Gatwick North, Gatwick South, Heathrow T3. We're on site building the one in T4, and that has certainly, in those two airports, helped us to perform significantly ahead of passenger numbers. And hopefully we'll have lots more opportunities to do that in other airports. So the answer to the question is that we don't think the passenger numbers have changed that much. We're still getting some growth. The growth is probably higher in the regional airports, and it's a bit more constrained somewhere like Heathrow because of capacity. But it's tracking along more or less where we expect it to.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Richard, in terms of that difference, it is indeed depreciation.
Okay. All right, thanks for clarifying, Robert.
Thank you, sir.
Your next question comes from line of Adam Coltrane. Thank you. Please go ahead. Please ask your question. The line's open.
Hi. Good morning, guys. I think a few of them have been
asked.
It has been asked, actually. But in terms of thinking with regard to the InMotion business, what is the rationale for taking the InMotion outside of the US rather than your own Tech Express brand? Looking at the pictures, to be fair, they look very similar anyway. But is it something that you were going to do anyway with your Tech Express, and InMotion maybe just allows you to accelerate some of that? Secondly, you talked briefly about the logistics capacity that you've acquired or will hopefully acquire that enables you to put in some of the WH Smith formats. Is that there's nothing else that really needs to be done cost-wise before you can start to tenders, etc.?
I think that the reason for saying it like that, Adam, on exporting the InMotion brand is it's a well-established brand with both landlords and suppliers. It's been around since the 1990s, and it's with some of the big brands who tend to act in a global way in this sector. It is very, very well regarded, and I think a combination of those two things probably make it a lot more exportable than our Tech Express, which whilst we've done very, very well with it in the UK, we have a relatively small number of standalone stores. Many of them are implants, and it's still fairly young. And in motion, we're starting to cast their sights beyond the US anyway. They haven't really done much with it yet, but it was certainly international expansion was on their agenda had we not acquired them. So I think for all of that, plus we'll be able to use their very experienced sort of business development and buying resource as we export it into other countries, I just think they've got a much, much sort of better head start than our Tech Express. With regards to logistics capacity, they've got a distribution in particular. They've got a head office and a distribution centre in Jacksonville in Florida, which Robert and I have visited a number of times. There is sufficient capacity there for us to start our newsbooks and convenience business, both within the DC and within head office. Clearly, over time, we will have to scale up, but it is a scalable operation that they have. But what it gives us from day one is the ability to go to landlord and say, we can't do this, you don't have to take a chance on us, which is what we've been sort of doing when we've been dabbling with tenders in the US. It gives us the ability to go with the business development guys who already have these fantastic relationships with the landlords and so on. So all of the sort of infrastructure capability and human capability is there to get us started. How quickly we scale that up will be determined by how well we do in terms of winning new tenders. But as we've learned from other countries like Australia and so on, we can do that pretty effectively. The trick is always to not let your costs run ahead of your tender wins and your sales. We've got good experience at doing that, and we will deploy that experience in Jacksonville and in the US.
In terms of the leases, I can just confirm that they're turnover-based leases.
Like all travel leases in nearly every bit of the world where we operate, it's exactly the same. And that's why they're attractive to landlords, because the sort of sales growth that they're delivering makes them very attractive. When we look at our own business and we look at our own international business and our UK travel business and look at all of the characteristics which we believe have made us successful over the last 5 or 6 years. And you'll have seen from our presentations, year in, year out, we're delivering like-for-likes of +3, +4, and +5, total sales of +8, +9, and +10, winning business, as I said, 300 stores outside of the UK in the last 8 years, delivering superior sales per passenger for landlords, which is what makes us attractive. When we look at all of those characteristics of our business, and we look at in motion, we see a lot of overlap and a lot of similarities. You know, it is a very good, well-run business, and that's one of the things which you know, we have found really attractive. We see in them many of the things that make us successful here, and that's one of the things that gives us confidence we can use that as a platform for future growth, both for their existing format and our WHSmith format.
And have they been seeing particular increases in the percentage of turnover in the US versus what you've seen in other regions, or is it similar trend?
It's quite different. The dynamics are quite different. Often the rents that you pay are lower, but then some of the other costs are higher, which makes it net out to often something very, certainly for newsbooks and convenience, makes it net out to similar numbers. But as you know, both the rents, the leases, and all of the other stuff in travel is the most commercially sensitive data that we have in our business, because it's a competitive tender environment, so we tend not to talk about that in any sort of granular detail.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Taylor. Please go ahead. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Hi, Richard. Yeah, morning, guys. Three questions, please. Firstly, can you talk a bit about the capital intensity? I know that some of these businesses, to win or renew contracts, it can be pretty expensive from a cash flow perspective, so keen to know whether the dynamics are any different to your existing international business or your own UK travel business. Secondly, any key contracts up for renewal that may concern us? You know, what sort of visibility do you have on all this sort of stuff? And finally, in terms of the management team that's to come with this business, what are the lock-ins involved there, please?
I'll do 2 and 3, and Robert will do 1, but we'll do them in the order of 2, 3, 1. Contracts for renewal, good try. If you were asking me which contracts are for renewal in the UK, Australia, India, or Spain, I'd tell you to mind your own business, because that is the most sensitive data that we have. But if for our competitors across the world, Richard, if you can find out when their contracts are for renewal, I'd be very interested in you telling me. I'm not even going to address that answer up. We just wouldn't talk about stuff like that. In terms of the management team, as you'd expect, I mean, they are very good. They've been there for a number of years. They all live in Jacksonville, which is not unhelpful. And we have taken all of the actions you would expect us to take in order to lock them in. We are not jailkeepers in there, not prisoners, so there's only so much that you can do, but we are confident that we've taken all of the right steps and got all of the things in place that will keep them. And they're very committed. They are very excited that we've bought the business. They are very excited about our growth plans and our intentions. We've known them for over a year, so we've met them quite a number of times. The personal dynamics between us work well, and as I said, the way they run their business is not so different to how we run ours, so there's a lot of compatibility there. So that, combined with all of the usual actions you would expect us to take to lock them in, I think puts us in a pretty good position.
And Richard, in terms of capital and is very similar to us. These are not capital intensive stores. They've got low maintenance capex needs. I'm looking forward, really, that the amount of capex that we're going to need will depend on how much business that we win. So it's pretty much dependent on that. For this year, I think I was guiding to sort of early 50s. A couple of weeks ago, I'd be thinking now it's probably closer to 55 than 50 for this year in terms of capex.
Okay. Thanks. Just to follow up, you're not going to tell me when the contract renewals are, fair enough, but in terms of the risks of this deal, I guess relatively short duration concessions, how have you got comfortable in your own due diligence that this is a risk worth taking?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's one of the dilemmas, let's say, of buying a travel business, wherever that travel business is. Whether it's duty-free, selling electronics, selling newsbooks at convenience, or indeed selling fashion jewellery or hamburgers, what you are doing is buying a bunch of contracts. There are lots of reasons why we are comfortable with this. One, historically, they have got a very good renewal record. Two, they do have very good relationships with landlords. We have seen that play out. Three, I'll go back to what I said earlier, Richard. When we look at the sales per passenger, the like-for-like sales growth, how they run their stores efficiently, actually probably something that they've got because of the product that they sell, they've got very, very good customer service. Because this is assisted selling, their service proposition is very good and very, very attractive to landlords. They've got all those big brands. And if you look at, I can't remember which slide number it is, which shows you the number of stores that they have, 114 versus the next one, which is 15. The reason for all of that is they have a very attractive proposition for customers and landlords, and they deliver sales growth that makes the landlords much, much better off. So, and that is all very, very similar to us. And they are all the sorts of reasons why we don't lose our contracts in the UK. They're the very same reasons why we've been able to win 300 stores outside of the UK in the last number of years. So, you know, it's got exactly the same characteristics as any other travel business would have in terms of its leases and its lease profile and everything else. But got all of those other things supporting it, and that's what gives us the confidence.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Tony Charest. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Morning, Mr. Charest.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Obviously, quite a lot of stuff's been asked already. Just turning around the lock-ins question a bit. Can you tell us, I take it the management, existing management, took a decent slug of the $198 million you paid for this. Is that fair to say?
Depends what you mean by decent.
You could tell me the number.
I don't think they're going to be running off into the sunset with their pots of gold hanging over their shoulders or anything like that. But I know where you're going. Are they sufficiently moneyed up that lock-ins are not going to be worth to them, are not going to be of value to them? And the answer, I think, is no and no. We spent a lot of time with them, and we put a lot of things in place that make it attractive for them to stay with us. Even amongst the very senior management team, I think we have a fairly high level of confidence that that's how it's going to work out. You know, they are, you know, as excited as we are about the growth prospects for this business in the US, and they're very excited about taking their InMotion brand outside of the US. And as you would have expected, we've done all the right things to keep them in place. So, you know, we would like to get really big long chains and handcuffs and handcuff them to the desk for the next 10 years. But we'd probably go to prison ourselves for doing that. Beyond that, I think we've done all of the right things to keep them in place, and you know, I'm very confident that will be how it works out.
Okay. Small question. Minimum guarantees. Obviously, with your EBITDA margin, it doesn't look like inaccurate. You're anywhere close to minimums, but. Structurally, the situation is a bit different, isn't it, in the US to some of these other international airports? Minimums tend to be a bit higher, don't they?
It varies from airport to airport, Anthony, and it depends on the nature of the deal, how keen the airport is to have InMotion or any other retailer and so on. It's not, honestly, the characteristics of that, I don't think are particularly different. That's not something in all of the work that we've done that has raised itself as a particular strange characteristic versus what we're used to.
Okie doke. And lastly, you mentioned in passing briefly the other acquisition that you wrote off the cost of in the exceptionals, the prelims. Presumably, were you considering these things at the same time? Could you have acquired both of them at the same time, subject to them, you know, you still being within your EBITDA debt limit?
So I said earlier that we've been looking at this one for some time, so for more than a year or so. So you can make your deduction from that. The other one, you know, we said everything we had to say on it at the prelims. This one we find very, very attractive. We think it gives us all of the benefits which I outlined earlier, and it just wasn't connected with the other one at all.
But presumably, if you've been looking at this one for a long time and you were looking at that one at the same time, there is a possibility you could have bought them both.
Nothing's impossible.
No, okay, fine. Right, yeah. Well, thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you.